I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. You know, part of the appeal of organized sports is its constancy. The rules, the techniques for winning, they're the same year after year, generation after generation. Well, you might think they are, but it's just not true. You can read all about it in a new book by Tim Harris. It's called Players, 250 Men, Women, and Animals Who Created Modern Sport. Tim Harris is in London. And Tim, help us out here. What are the Ripley's believe it or not facts that we can take to our next dinner party and just completely gobsmack our guests with about men, women, and animals who created modern sport?
Oh, gosh. I suppose it depends what kind of sports you like, really.
Well, let's start with the men who, or a man who created modern sport that we've never heard of.
Well, I've got a chap who changed the way that we jump on horses. Is that any good for you?
That's a great story. Who is he?
This is an Italian lieutenant called Federico Caprilli. And I don't know if you've ever seen ancient pictures of people jumping over things on horses, but they're always leaning back. But Caprilli was the first man to realize that if you want to jump over something, you've actually got to lean forward, because there was this notion that you had to lean back on a horse to save its front legs. And Caprilli sensed that this was completely mad and was the first guy to sort of use photography to study real horses and discovered that they always land on their front legs and that if you lean forward, you get a much better center of balance. So for this insight, he was banished from his riding school where he taught, and he was exiled to the south of Italy until someone actually tried this and discovered it did work beautifully. And in fact, it worked so beautifully that you could even ride around with no reins on. And so he was elevated to be the head of the Italian cavalry.
Well, so
which is a nice story.
He was kind of a radical.
He was a radical. He was a genuine sporting radical, someone who realized that everyone was doing something absolutely wrong that they'd accepted as being right for hundreds of years.
Remind us of his name again.
Federico Caprilli.
Federico Caprilli. That's not like the Caprilli lean or anything like that. He didn't get a name
out of it. I mean, remarkably few things people lend their name to. I mean, we have a few. We have the Fosbury flop.
Right.
And in soccer, we have the Cruyff turn. But there
Johan
many.
Cruyff, the great Dutch player.
The great Dutch player, Johan Cruyff.
How about women?
Well, I quite fancy Annette Kellerman, who is sort of a contemporary Federico Caprilli, and is forgotten as a sportswoman for the very good reason that she never really was a sportswoman. She was a professional. She wasn't allowed to compete in a lot of events. But basically, she was a pioneering swimmer. She pioneered women's crawl. She was one of the first women to wear a semi-sensible bathing suit.
And where is she from?
She was originally from Australia. She was a great swimmer, but her family ran out of money, and she started doing exhibitions at the Melbourne Aquarium. And as a consequence, she sort of gave birth to synchronized swimming.
And remind us of her name, too.
Annette Kellerman.
Annette Kellerman.
Annette Kellerman.
All right, if we go to animals who've created modern sport, they had a real role in it in this crazy sport in Afghanistan called bushkashi, which is a precursor to polo and was actually played with not a ball but a carcass of a goat. I'm sure your animals did something probably a little more dignified in creating sport.
The one I particularly like is an unnamed Scottish terrier who was very important in British football. The story was that there was a chap who was planning to build a big athletic stadium in London, the first ever big athletic stadium, and he had a partner. This guy's name was Gus Mears.
And what year is this about?
This is 1904, mm-hmm. And this was the first big stadium ever planned for London. And he had this great plan, which was going to have a big combined athletics and soccer stadium. He was going to invite in the local side, Fulham, and he was also going to bring in the London Athletic Club. And this was all looking pretty good until Fulham said that they didn't want to come. And what happened was that the dog bit his potential partner, the London Athletic Club, which could have broken the whole thing up. But in fact, the guy reacted so well that Gus Mears decided this was someone he could really do business with. And they went ahead. And this stadium is now Stamford Bridge, which is the home of Chelsea, who are the most successful football team at the moment in the country. And, if it hadn't been for this little doggy, they would probably have turned it into a coal yard. So there would have been no Chelsea.
Some people would say that no Chelsea would actually be a good thing.
Some people would say no Chelsea would be a good thing. In fact, it was pointed out at the time that the site is so far into Fulham that it was about as close to Timbuktu as it was to Chelsea. That's an exaggeration, but I mean, it is. They toyed with the name of calling it London FC and Kensington, but Chelsea just sounded classy.
What do you think we need to know about obscure people who have created and led to the games that we know today, Tim?
Well, I guess it's interesting to think about how sports have evolved. And also, we take a lot for granted in sport. We take it for granted, for example, that American football lasts for 60 minutes. Well, it didn't used to. It used to be 90. All these things are for a reason. We tend to take them for granted, but it's interesting.
Tim Harris is the author of Players. Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Not at all.